Let's pray as we get into the morning here. Lord, thank you so much for this incredible opportunity we have to get together as your people, as people who want to know God better, who want to know what it means to follow Jesus. And so, Lord, we are just so thankful as we come together in looking at your word, God. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us and help us to just be sensitive to what you want us to do personally. Lord, I also want to lift up our community in which we live here, in which our church is, and we just pray for it. We pray for every household in this area. Pray that your Holy Spirit would just somehow, in some way, whether it's through a communication with a church member here, or whether it's just your Holy Spirit drawing them, know that there's hope in Jesus Christ, that you would draw them even to this building, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that our church would be more and more a light to this community, Lord. We just pray that you would be exalted, and people in the homes all around us would be giving thanks for Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, listen, this morning, we're going to do something a little different. Some of you guys may have grown up in a liturgical church. I didn't just cuss, okay? Liturgical church where you have, there's maybe some responsive readings where somebody says something and then you say something back. Anybody have some of that? I grew up Baptist. We did responsive readings, you know, where the pastor says something and then the congregation responds back. So the passage that we're talking about here, Psalm 118, is kind of, it's designed to be that way. It's really designed to have responses, okay? So we're going to be a little bit interactive in our reading today, all right? So, if you're too young to read, you can just say watermelon, watermelon, you know, which is what they tell you to do when you're singing and forget the words. This should be fun. You know, I have it up here on the screen, and you can see, like, for example, pastor, that would be me. And then when it says all, that means all. That's all means, you know. And then actually there's a part here for leaders. So if you're a leader in the church, it doesn't matter whether it's a small group leader, ministry leader, that's your part, okay? That's how it's going to go. All right? So, you know, and so the people who are reading doesn't change until you see that yellow word. It tells you that it's changing. So, all right, I'll start off. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Though hostile nations surrounded me, I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like a crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not let me die. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it with cords on the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. That's the word of God. Listen, this whole psalm is really about God's love that won't let you go. That's what it means to be the faithful love of God. It's a love that will not let us go. Before we kind of take a look at the psalm a little bit more in depth, I just want to say, you know, when what's happening in that psalm is just that you have the call to worship, right? And that's the first phrase, you know, that I read, right, to everyone, where those responses were coming, right? And saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then let all Israel repeat, and let the leaders repeat, and so on. And it's basically an invitation. Let's come together and let's praise the Lord. He's saying, let's really tell of all his wonderful works. And then the psalmist in first person just starts talking. You know, hey, this is how God has been so faithful to me. This is what he's done in my life. This is how he saved me. This is how he's delivered me. Right? And he's talking about the faithful love of God, the love that will not let him go. Even talks about God's discipline in his life like he does us. But God's faithful love, right? He didn't cast him aside just because he messed up. And so this psalm is about God's faithful love. And this is one of the things that the people of God would do when they gather together is they would tell each other how they've seen the faithfulness of God. And the people would give thanks for that, right? And so this morning, I'm going to kind of break with the way I normally do a message, and I'm just going to say, I want to hear from you how you've seen God's faithful love. It could be a personal thing. It could be something that you've seen him work in your family, at your work, at school, and it doesn't have to be long. Just I want to hear from you. Certainly, we've got plenty of ways that God has been, we've seen his faithfulness to us. His faithful love. So, that said, I would love for anyone who wants to just share. Again, it can be just a minute, it can be 30 seconds. I don't care. I would just love to hear how you have seen the faithfulness of God and how you can tell each other. This is about us, okay? It's not about me and the message. It's about we want to hear from you, okay? Sure, stand up. Go ahead.
My daughter.
Oh, come on over here. Forgot to tell you, you're going to be on a mic. Some of us need some assistance in hearing. So, there you go.
You're funny.
Well, I didn't mean anyone in specific,
yeah,
but I just,
sure.
You know, I didn't.
Oh,
I
where
didn't.
Are you, Paul?
I meant, actually, me. I have
something. Okay.
He just got married. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, my daughter had a foreign exchange student from Hong Kong at their house the last 2 weeks, and she goes to the Big Naz in Grove City, and she took her to church, and she had no concept of God, like no frame of reference. It's not like some tribe in Africa, like I kind of thought, you know. She lives in the city of Hong Kong, and Jill was trying to explain God to her, and she just really wasn't getting it. She had never heard. She goes, what is this God? And so Jill tried to explain, then she was trying to like be like Buddha, and she didn't get that either. She just absolutely had no concept. Finally, Jill said, you know, you have temples over there, and she said, incense, you know. So it was like totally, I was just floored by that. And so I'm just thankful that we live in a country where we can praise God and we know God and we have a chance to get to know God. And it really made me think about getting out there telling people more that don't know God. But I was just floored by that whole thing.
Oh, cool. Thanks for sharing. Awesome. Cool. Somebody else? Yeah, come on over. Don't let the mic freak you, okay?
My grandson just reminded me of this story that I had told him a while back, but Ed, over the years, has had to have a lot of surgeries, and the time when he had to have, like, half of his foot removed, I had been driving back after that day. It was a long day, and it was kind of rainy outside, and I obviously was distracted when I was driving. I probably shouldn't have been driving because I was feeling sad, but I had gotten into an accident. It was my fault. And luckily, I did some damage to the other person's car, but they weren't hurt, so I was grateful for that. But I just had my head on the steering wheel, like, oh, I just can't believe this just happened. And this very beautiful African-American lady dressed in her police uniform told me to unroll my window, and she leaned her hand in and leaned her hand on my shoulder and said, I would like to pray with you. And she prayed. She prayed the most beautiful prayer of encouragement. And I looked up at her and I said, "You're my angel." The funny thing is that after some time went on, and they had to have a squad come out and make sure that the person that I hit wasn't hurt and that kind of thing. So I couldn't find her. I didn't see her anywhere. But I was just so blown away that God was so faithful. And all the way home, I was thinking, God, you're just so faithful to comfort when we need comfort. And that was really an amazing thing.
That's cool. Praise God. His faithful love endures forever. Who else? Come on. Come on up. Come on up. What's that? Come on. You can do it. He's faithful. You can do it. I say he's faithful.
That's exactly what I'm going to talk about.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, it's hard to put this in a short. It's hard to be short about this because, but throughout my life, I've had, and I'm not saying this for self-pity or anything, this is praise. Throughout my life, I've had many struggles of being accepted and loved, and my friends. I never had any true friends throughout school, and I tried to be a true friend. What I thought a true friend was being loyal and trustworthy and truthful, but in response, I never received that back. And through high school, I couldn't wait to get out of high school because I really thought that I was hated, and my friends would accuse me of different things and call me on the phone and yell at me and swear at me. And, well, I don't think they were friends that did that, but they were supposed to be my friends. And my father, I loved him very much, and he was a good man, but something happened in the church. He was an elder, and he left the church. But when my friends called me on the phone and did that to me, I said, I can't listen to this. I'm going to have to hang up. And she called right back, and my dad told her what she was accusing me of was not true. And I really felt like God put my dad there to stand up for me. So I know that my family loved me, even though there were times where I felt like I didn't get their support. And there's many things I can say about that, give you examples. I just want to express God's faithfulness because I never knew that God loved me until I even went to a Bible college. And I thought it was all based on what I did. And because people didn't believe in me, I thought I was worthless. So I felt like I was worthless to God and that I couldn't measure up. And then after college, I went to a church, and that's the first time I heard about God's love. But through all this, God has put people into my life even during college. I had some really good friends that were really great friends, and that's when I felt like I finally had a good friend. But throughout my lifetime, I've had other struggles like we all do, and God has blessed me with people that have really loved me in my adult life and showed me that God does love me for who I am and that I am worthy. And the church here has done that for me. Many people here, well, you all have accepted me without question. When I first came here, I thought, oh, how are they going to, I don't know if they'll accept me or not. And you have all accepted me, and I just praise you. And there's so many other things I could tell you, but I just appreciate God's faithfulness, and he healed me from my stroke. They didn't expect me to live from my brain aneurysm that caused a stroke. And here I am today, speaking and walking and talking, and I just want to praise him for his faithfulness.
Thank you. Yeah, let's praise God. Dolly's coming up. Thank you. Oh, my pleasure. Yeah.
Oh, well, most everybody here knows me as Dolly, but that's not
I'll
my
hold that for you.
Oh, but that's not my name. My name is actually Edith LaFawn. But I just wanted to say this. I grew up in a very small town called Swickley, which was very prejudiced. And my father was a very good-looking man, and whole lot of things I could say, but I won't. My mother was a very good Christian woman. I've been in church all my life. But growing up in Swickley, you can get an attitude, because when you go in school and someone says, oh, you know what, and they use the N-word, well, I was a fighter. And my sister was very smart. She got straight A's, and I was repeating. Had to repeat this grade or that grade. But what I wanted to tell you, they have a creek there called Swickley Creek. So my mother had told us, you know, don't go down there. Somebody I know went down there anyway, was a friend. And we were on our bicycles. And we weren't supposed to be there because they had water moccasins and all, you know, coming around. Now, I can't swim, but I was in the water. And when I heard her scream, I turned around, and my girlfriend, this man is pushing her down in the water. And these phones were not that important. But, so I decided to run for help. But there's no houses on the street. And someone passing by, well, we got to a house way down. And we were able to call the police. And fortunately, she wasn't raped. But she was a beautiful young lady. And then me. But I'm figuring my father won't know this. My mother won't know this when I get home. When you go someplace and there's only 1,000 people. And then when I got home, she said, why were you down at that creek? You can't swim. And this is true. I can't. Even today I can't swim. But to say this, I know what God can do. Because that could be a thing where I could have been killed. My friend could have been killed. And believe me, I haven't always been in this. So I knew coming up there, I had to do something that was going to make people know who I was. So I went to dancing school, and I learned the 12 batons with fire, water, anything you have. And I was an expert at it. And I got all kinds of awards and trophies. But you see, you can't get so high and mighty because God doesn't like that. And I had gotten a little, shall we say, high and mighty. What happened? My mother's house burned to the ground.
Oh my.
And everything burned up. So we go to Pittsburgh. Well, we move into Pittsburgh. She finally divorced my father. And we moved to Pittsburgh, and I said, I have got to find a church to go to here. And I went to this church, and it was just like this church. And I said, I have been Baptist all my life. I'm not knocking the Baptist, but when I got ready to come down here, I just said I couldn't stand Pittsburgh. God has his way of showing you. Don't get so high and mighty. All my trophies burn up. All my awards burn up. And that's all I was good at, was throwing the baton. And I guess that wasn't enough for him because, if you can see now, I can't even walk. But it was, you know, and I know what God can do. He's done it. And sometimes I wonder why I'm even still here.
That's it. Thanks for sharing. Good. How about one more story here? Somebody's got, want to share about God's faithfulness. Come on up.
Hi, I'm Mackenzie, and when I was very little, I was adopted at 7 years old, and I just thought that was a faithful moment to me because when I was little, I just didn't have the care that I needed, and when I met the Charltons, I did.
Awesome. You know, it's just whether it's, you know, through literally saving us from ourselves, you know, which I could probably give some stories about that, or, you know, helping us heal from relational wounds. You know, God is faithful. His love is faithful. He's, you know, this word that is used where it talks about, you know, his faithful love is hesed. And it really has to do with covenant love. It has to do with a committed love. It's not just a love that says things. It's a love that does. And that's what God's has said is his faithful love. And this psalm, again, this psalm just really, it's about God's love. But whenever we remember God's faithful love for us, right, like when we're in this setting here, and I know we just heard a few stories, but I'm sure you guys, others could stand up and say, this is how I've seen God's faithful love to me. I also think about that faithful love, you know, just it just reminds us that he can be trusted. God can be trusted. You know, as humans, because we're sinful, we will fail each other. That's a given, right? We hope by God's grace to do that less and less, right, as we follow Jesus and try to, by his grace and power, become more like him, like Jesus in our character, but we're still never going to be perfect, right? And so, but just think about these verses here in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, where it talks about, it says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust people. And then it says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And so he's, you know, the psalmist is just saying, you know, you're better off, you know, placing all your chips in God, okay? And giving your whole life to him, trusting him. And this is not to say that we should never trust an individual, but he's just saying, you know, in comparison, our refuge needs to be in God. And we need to trust him. And that trust involves when he asks us to do things, when he even forbids us to do other things. And, you know, I can speak for myself, my flesh, my humanity doesn't always like that. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't like to be told what to do. And you know, it's just, but I know that my parents and, you know, good parents will allow things or forbid things based on what's best for their kids. And I know God is the best parent ever. And so he can be completely trusted. You know, I love the verses here also in terms of just God's, we can completely trust God, is when you look over in verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 118, where it says, songs of joy are sung in the camp of the godly. I think about, you know, when is it, I had the question on your handout there. You know, when is it when we're most excited about God and want to just, woohoo, God, you know? When is it we want to do that? When is it we feel like doing that? When we're winning, yeah, right? What else? Well, how else would you describe that? During a worship time. Let's go with that, with worship and with winning. Winning in what way? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, it's like I could clearly see God has done this, or God has helped me, or, and you're just like, yeah, you know? And this is what happens, right? And it doesn't even have to be a me thing where it's just about me, where I'm just only excited about what God is doing when he's doing it for me, but for my fellow brothers and sisters in the faith, right? When they tell me and they share with me and they share with you how they're seeing God's faithful love to them displayed, that's cause for celebration. And that's what's happening here. He says, hey, songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. This is what, when we come together, right? When we don't regularly have a time of sharing like this, but I'm just saying that when we come into the presence of God, do you know what can help you have a heart of praise and thanks is when you think about how you've seen God's faithfulness. You remind yourself of that, right? And that's what the psalmist does here. As it says the strong right arm of the Lord, right? That right arm is just a symbol of strength in the Bible. All right? And so the strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. It's just another way of saying God is awesome. I've seen his awesomeness displayed in my life, and so praise God. And so we see he can be trusted completely. The other thing, and I think this is really, you know, in the title of the message, Love That Won't Let You Go, this is really what this is about, is just this idea that, you know, hey, when we remember God's faithful love for us, we're reminded he will never unfriend us. Yeah? So, you know, God's, if you come to faith in Christ, you put your faith in him. Part of this covenant love is, part of this, he's not going to let you go. A love that will not let you go means there's nothing that you could do to ever be separated from the love of God. And I don't know any other kind of relationship like that, that you could say with 100% confidence that there's nothing I could do in that relationship that would ever cause them to not love me anymore. See, God has set his love on us. If you're in Christ, if you're a believer, it says he set his love on you, and we are the people of his own possession, right? And with that comes just a committed love. And we need to realize this. You know, when you read passages like Ephesians chapter 1, if you have your Bible, just take a quick look there. Ephesians chapter 1. And starting in we'll take a look at verse 6. Ephesians 1:6 says, so we pray, this is, again, I'm just kind of reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Again, that grace is unmerited favor. It's getting something we don't deserve. That's his grace. We don't deserve forgiveness. We've all in our hearts rebelled against God. The book of Romans tells us that, right? And so, but we, if you by faith have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you receive that which you didn't earn, which is the grace of God. And so he's talking about this grace. He says, we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Verse 7, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. Verse 8, he has showered us his kindness, has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. In other translations, it uses the word he's lavished it on us. He's lavished his kindness on us. When I think of lavished, you know, I just think of a total drenching. Okay, you know, if you when we had constructed out here, I think it was towards the end of Operation 516. Ray built that bucket dumping thing when the kids could throw tennis balls or whatever it was at this little thing, and it dumped an entire huge bucket, 5 gallon bucket of water on you. It just lavished you with water. Okay, it wasn't, you know, there was no inch of you that was dry, and so think about that when you think of God lavishing His kindness on you. Okay, okay. There can be some people that might think, you know, oh, well, this is pastor's kind of pumping us up here, but this is just the truth. Okay, this is the truth. We forget this. Okay. We forget this. We often forget this when we find ourselves falling short of what we know to be God's ideal for us. You know, we have to know, okay, well, maybe I've moved away from God, but He hasn't. Okay? God's faithful love for us, there, as it says in verse 8, He has showed His kindness, showered His kindness on us, or lavished His kindness on us. And you can't forget that. We have to be reminded of that's His covenant love. That's His love that will not let you go. And so when you look at other verses like John chapter 10, we're reminded of this love that cannot let you go. When you become a believer, this love that will not let you go is described by Jesus Himself in John chapter 10 and verse 28. John 10, 28. And Jesus says, he's speaking of the people that God has given them. You know, people who will believe, okay? Anyone who will come to believe in Christ as their Savior. That's who He's speaking of here. And we enter into the conversation when Jesus says, He says in verse 28 of John chapter 10, He says, I give them, in other words, the people who have accepted Him. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from Me. For My Father has given them to Me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from My Father's hand. The Father and I are one. And Jesus says, you know, when you believe and you have eternal life, right? And He's saying, listen, I've got you, and no one can get you out of My hands. And by the way, if you thought that could happen, then the Father has His hand around you, and no one can take you out of His hands. He's saying, listen, this is secure, all right? We might have insecure relationships with each other, but when you come into the faith, that relationship is secured. And that is God's faithful chesed. It's His faithful love, a love that will not let us go. One last verse, just to remind ourselves of this, is Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And the writer of Hebrews says, do not love money, be satisfied with what you have. Hebrews 13, 5. Do not love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, and this is what God says, I will never fail you. Do you know anybody that can say that and mean it 100%? I was so mad last night. I was so mad. I've never been this mad in a long time. I think my blood pressure went up 20 points. I don't know if you know how high it's got to be bad, but it was bad. I was sitting around for an appointment with a utility, let's just say. Okay? And I was waiting there, and the appointment was supposed to be between 4 and 5. 4:30 came, I called. They're running late at an appointment. Okay, I get that. Happens. 5:30 comes by. I'm calling every hour. That's the way I am, you know. I'm like, okay. Just want to let you know I'm here. Waiting. 8:30 came. I'm sure you could, yeah. And so, okay. Okay, so somebody was dishonest with me, okay? One of, it's a long story, believe me. Even though it happened in 3 hours, you know, it was a long story. And so I said, okay, so we need to reschedule, right? So with Linda, with Linda's job and her needing to have all the things she needs to tutor and all that stuff, I said, we got a tight window here. Can you guarantee me that you will be here? In this case, it was between 11 and 4. I thought that was pretty good. Between 11 and 4. Got to be done. Or excuse me, 11 and 3. Sorry. Got to be done. Well, sir, you know, I'd like to be able to guarantee that. But I just can't. I might be lying if I did that. And I was just thinking, you know, when you look at this verse, and God says, I will never fail you. It's not like the utility. Fill in the blank, whatever utility you want. You know, what she was telling me is, we might fail you. God will never fail you. God will never fail you. My faith is not in the utility. It's in God. He will never fail us, this says. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the writer of Hebrews says, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Sounds like Psalm 118, right? The Lord will never fail you. That is a love that will not let go. So, we're reminded that there's nothing we can do, that once we're in the faith, we are secure in Him, right? Now, you know, we're in this series talking about, you know, following the life of Jesus, and you might be saying, like, well, where is Jesus coming into all this, right? And just to wrap this up, I want to say that, you know, it's very likely that Jesus and His disciples sang this as the last song at the Last Supper. How are we coming up with this? Because those words are not like copied and pasted. We don't know in the New Testament. It doesn't say, you know, that they sang this, right? But it does say in Matthew, in chapter 26, verse 30, it talks about there at the very end of the time when they had the Last Supper, it says, and then they sang a hymn. Okay? Well, what is true, we know for sure, is that this was a celebration of the Passover feast, right? Passover was coming to an end, okay? And we do know for sure the habit of God's people singing the Psalms 113 through 118, which is called the Hallel Psalms. And those psalms are psalms of praise, all right? And it was their tradition. On certain festivals, and certainly on Passover, they would have sung these songs. So it kind of makes sense that it was probably, this being the last psalm in those psalms, this was the last thing they heard Jesus sing. And why? Not just was it tradition, but when you take a look at the things that are said in the Psalm 118, that we can definitely say, you know, there are tones of Jesus ringing all through this. Right? Psalm 118, verse 26. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Right? These words, similar words, are echoed on Palm Sunday when Jesus has, you know, comes in on riding on a donkey, right? But also, Jesus says, even after that, that he says, you won't see me again until you hear these words said. I think referring to his second coming, you know, in a sense. But he's saying, you know, these are words are said of him. And then certainly when you look at verse 22 in Psalm 18, the stone the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Okay, those words are echoed in Matthew. Well, actually, go to Acts. I want to take a look at Acts chapter 4. So as the disciples are singing this hymn probably with Jesus, and they're talking about the stone that made men stumble has now become the cornerstone. And we can definitely confirm in the book of Acts and also in Matthew chapter 21, verse 4. But I want to take a look in Acts 4, 11. And this is Peter and John before the council. They're standing and giving testimony before the council, the religious leaders, right? And so it says, "For Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture where it says," and then he quotes it, "the stone that you built, that you builders," he actually fills in, "you builders," "you guys," okay? He says, the stone you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he just says, this is Jesus we're talking about here, all right? And Jesus and the disciples singing of God's faithful love and of his deliverance, right? At the Last Supper. And this psalm and other psalms, Psalm 22, other psalms are definitely talking. There are echoes of Jesus in there, right? And so as we're following the life of Jesus through this series, you need to know that Jesus is spoken of long before we get a name put to him, right? And we'll see the psalms speak of him as we read of in our readings this week. And we'll see prophecies from the prophets also speaking of him, foretelling of him, and that'll be read this week. And then we have to realize, you know, these are not just a bunch of disconnected pieces of literature here in the Bible, right? There is that thread of Jesus all the way through it, right? And so Jesus is in the Psalms, just not by name, right? And when we look at the New Testament, as we can, have the benefit that we can look back and we see those connections that are explicitly stated for us in the New Testament, right? And so Jesus, he delivers us, right? Through Jesus, we experience the chesed. Through Jesus, we get that, we get to really experience the love that will not let us go. It's talked about God's chesed there in the Old Testament. We see Jesus as a way that we now can experience that faithful love of God that will not let us go. It's not just a saying, but it really is all about Jesus. It really is. Our life is about him. In one sense, almost every scripture can be tied back to him. And so this morning, I just want to pray here, just in closing, we'll ask the Lord's blessing here as we conclude the message. But just, I want to pray that you would experience the love that will not let you go. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for even just the example of your people there in the Old Testament, the psalms that were meant to be sung, this way of interacting back and forth, just hearing the words that his faithful love endures forever. His faithful love endures forever. And some people may say, well, I got it the first time, and I just think that, no, I probably didn't get it the first time. I need to keep reminding myself by way of testimony, like we heard some today, by way of the scripture promises that we have, that we saw today, that you have a love that never fails. Father, we just thank you for that. I just pray that if anyone here has not placed their faith in Christ, that they might do so, that they might experience the forgiveness Christ offers, and also experience that faithful love that can be found nowhere else. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.